We serve a higher authority, the highest authority. If the laws of the land say you can't preach the gospel, my God says preach the gospel. Amen. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans 13 that we are to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. Amen. That means we're to obey the laws of the land. Somebody say amen. But when those laws contradict the law of God, we're not to obey it. So the disciples said, amen to Agrippa. He was telling them, you guys are no longer allowed to preach this gospel or in this name. And they said, well, you decide, O king, is it right for us to obey you or rather than God? You decide. You see, there comes a time when we have to stand up and we have to speak out, regardless of what is politically correct. And because we're bowing down to that cow of political correctness, the enemy is encroaching and taking more and more of our liberties away, because if good people aren't doing anything, somebody say amen. If we're not standing up, amen. If we're not being the light and being the salt and being the influence, if we're in bed with the world, how are we going to be influencing the world? Amen. We got to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Not in a self-righteous, pious way, but in the sense that we live and we model what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. Before the world. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Hallelujah. So praise God. Thank you for coming today. Hallelujah. Thank you for not listening to that other voice this morning. That other voice once in a while talks to me too, you know. And you know what we tell them, right? Right? Speak to the hand, right? Not interested in what you have to say or what you have to offer. So Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And life more abundantly. The thief came to rob, to kill, and destroy. Amen. Steal. So, all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I look forward to these times together, don't you? You're supposed to say yes. That's the thing you're supposed to say. Right? But yeah. When God is in the house, it's wonderful. It's amazing. It's like life. You know, wherever Jesus is, wherever the Holy Spirit is, it's life. And when we gather together in His name, He's here with us today. Amen? And a special blessing comes when we are united together in His name, in one accord. Our hearts are all pursuing the same Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we can attribute something that God is actually doing to coincidence. In fact, unbelievers always are looking for some type of scientific explanation for for things that happen, you know, especially if it's supernatural in nature and they're not believers. But we know better. We know our God is supernatural. Amen. He is the Most High. He has all power, all authority. He's omnipresent, all-knowing. Amen. And all-powerful. He's the Most High. El Elyon is His name. Most High God. And you know, I really appreciate the sincerity and the simplicity of faith that, you know, often our young people exhibit. And even young believers. The problem sometimes is that we quit being spiritual children in our mind, in the sense that we start to put everything into categories and everything into formulas and everything into, you know, the 4 steps, the 12 steps, whatever, to success. And rather than just simply believing God, walking with God and enjoying fellowship with Him and watching God do miracles and work through our lives, you know, sometimes we just got to become children again, because, you know, we complicate the gospel. We complicate it. If I can just get one more sermon, one more CD, one more seminar, I'll have arrived, you know. Well, what are you doing with what you got in your hand right now? What's on your plate? Come on, somebody. We just need to discover what we already have and start utilizing it, amen, putting it to practice. See, God confirms little things like that to us. And we could say, well, it was going to stop anyways. You see how the enemy gets in there. And the thing is this, is that it's in the simplicity of faith. Believing God as a child would believe to receive a gift from someone. You know, that's when we receive. It's not, but when we start getting into formulas and sometimes the doctrines that we can fill ourselves with are actually closing up the heaven because they're doctrines really of unbelief. Well, I know God can, you know, He can help me with this, but He can't help me with that. That's just too much. Are you hearing me? Because often we're living by sight. We're looking at the way things appear. And sometimes the worse things appear, you know, the harder it is for us to believe. But if we're living by faith, faith says that nothing is impossible with God. For all things are possible. Jesus said it to them that believe. Now we know that God has a plan, has a will for our lives. Amen. And John tells us if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. But do you understand God wants to manifest Himself in miracles and in a sign? And a sign is not to point to the messenger, but to point to the one. Amen. It points to God, to Jesus. And so we need to just operate and function in the simplicity of faith, trusting God. Jesus says, unless you become little children, you won't enter the kingdom. You know, you're not going to be able to receive from God if you don't believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently. Well, I went through the spiritual drive-through McDonald's and I set my order and I expected instant results. And what's up with that? It's not that tweet anymore, you know. How many know that God's not bound to our timetable? But God does answer prayer and He does everything in His perfect timing and order. Because He's a perfect God. And we have ideas what we think are good for us. Come on, we've all had our own agendas. And said, God, I know this would be a good thing, so I'm asking You to give it to me. Well, God's wiser than we are. How many have discovered that already? And sometimes, because He's a good Father, He doesn't give His children what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. Because He knows that sometimes if we do that with our biological children, you spoil them. They take it for granted. And they don't appreciate things if they're always given to them. Come on, somebody. You know, if we're just always, oh, Johnny snibbles a little bit. Well, give Johnny what he wants so he doesn't snibble anymore. Right? Well, you're ruining that child. Because the child won't learn to appreciate anything. He won't learn the value of things. Somebody know that something that you've had to wait for is something that's more valuable than something that's instant. God wants His people to ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and that means continue seeking, pressing on, believing, waiting on God. Amen? For the answer. It was a Daniel who had set his heart to seek the Lord, and there was a delay of 21 days before, you know, the answer came through. But God, the angel told him, the day you set your heart to seek the Lord, the answer had already been released. And sometimes it's in that time of waiting that we can get into grumbling and complaining and unbelief. But we just need to hold on, amen, to God who is faithful. And He will answer according to His will because His will is always perfect. It's always right, and it's right on time. And faith needs to be simple. It's simply believing God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Oh, but that's too simple. But that's how it works. We have to become children in our thinking. A child is trusting, open, believing what you say. Amen? But unfortunately, as we grow up as children in this world, we discover that people are not always meaning what they say. That people lie to us, cheat, steal, take advantage. So we grow up in a world that is broken, and we learn to not trust, and for a good reason. We have to be careful, amen, who we trust. Trust has to be earned. Amen? You ever hear anybody say, well, don't you trust me? And you don't even know them from Adam. You say, well, let me get to know you first before I answer that. Let's be honest. Usually they have an agenda if they want you to trust them right away. But we grow up in this world as children and we have all these things happen. And all of a sudden now we come to a place. Anybody beside myself ever been to the place where you said, I don't trust anybody? Trust nobody. Well, you know, that's not really a good place to be. How many know there are people in this world that you can trust? And those people that you can trust should be God's people. We should be the most trustworthy, reliable, amen, dependable people on the planet. Why? Because we represent a God who is dependable, reliable, and trustworthy. And we're representing Him in His honor. So, we don't want to dishonor the Lord, amen? Because we love Jesus, we obey Him. You know, there's a lot of gospels being presented today, a lot of, you know, different persuasions and different types of Jesus is being presented, you know? And, of course, people are running all over the place. They're looking for the Jesus that they like. I'm looking for the Jesus who always agrees with me. Oh, I don't like your Jesus. I'm going to go over here and find a different Jesus that agrees with my lifestyle. It never corrects me. It always coddles me and makes me feel good. Come on, somebody. Boy, you're going to ruin your children if you treat them that way. You love them enough to tell them the truth, even if it hurts. And even if you become a bad guy for a little bit, or a bad lady, right? A bad person? Okay. We'll meet in the middle there. But the true gospel of Christ is demonstrated by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know what the true gospel and the true Jesus looks like, look at the life of Jesus. Amen? That's who we worship. That's who we present to every man. Amen? Christ. And so, taking a look at Jesus' life, you know, a lot of people, they don't actually know what the real Jesus was like because they never learn about Jesus. They never study His Word. And so they listen to something that sounds good, sounds right, feels right. Sometimes we feel something that feels good, but it's not actually good at all. How many times have we said, it felt good at the time? Oh, but it wasn't. It seemed right at the time. Boy, that car sure looked pretty nice. And the way that that salesman described it, man, it was going to be a sweet ride. Oh, it was a ride, all right. He's taking you on a ride. But the true gospel is a gospel of power. It is a life-transforming, renewing gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ transforms hearts and lives. Amen? It doesn't add to an old thing. It doesn't improve upon the old. It doesn't, you know, just make your life a little better. It doesn't enhance your life. It actually changes and transforms us from the inside out. The true gospel of Christ is a gospel of power. So, Christianity is verified by the signs that accompany it. The greatest sign and wonder is not somebody coming out of a wheelchair, but someone who's been changed from the inside out. And I become that sign and wonder to the world. And they look and they marvel and say, isn't this Jack's son? Oh my word. I want to take a DNA test to make sure this is the same person here. My dad's name was Jack, by the way. But we are that sign and that wonder that the world can look on us and read and see the change. Amen? How many here would consider your life to be a sign and a wonder? Yeah. You've seen God transform. And people that have known you are watching and they're seeing the change that's taking place. And you know what? Somebody may be really slick at debating doctrine, theology. But when you have the product in front of you, you know, you're no longer looking just at the manual, but now you're looking at the product. Amen? All the product is saying, well, the manual was right. Are you hearing me? Our lives need to be changed. God wants to change every one of us in here today a little bit more. I know there's a theology out there that says that we're all finished already. We just got to believe that. Now, I believe that God is changing us from glory to glory. Amen? From faith to faith. We're growing up. We're becoming mature. Adults, amen, in the spirit. So children are going to be hungry. They're going to be zealous. They're going to make some mistakes. But they're going to grow up, praise God. And, you know, thank God that He's got grace for mistakes. Anybody beside myself ever made a mistake here? Just want to make sure I'm in good company here, so okay. But listen to what Paul said, and this is something that most of us are very familiar with, but I want us to refocus on this because it is so vital to our understanding. What we don't need is to present a dry, sterile, powerless gospel to the world of theological concepts void of any real substance or power. God wants to take us from the theory to the revelation, amen? To where it's been now been revealed by His Spirit and is now gone from the classroom, amen, to the marketplace. 1 Corinthians 2:1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," Paul the Apostle said, "did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." Now, Paul was a Pharisee, as you remember, of Pharisees. He was highly educated. He could have boasted about all his accomplishments and all of his degrees, if you will, at that time. And yet, Paul said, "I didn't come to you with any of that stuff. I didn't come to you, you know, boasting about my credentials or my accomplishments." He says, "I didn't come to you even with excellence of speech. I didn't try to wow you with my oratorical skills. And how well I can present a message." How many know that people that aren't even born again can speak very well and persuade people to do things using simply their soul power and manipulation? And so what we need is the Holy Spirit to do the work through our lives. Amen. And so Paul said, "I didn't come to you with any of this stuff, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He wanted to keep the main thing in his message. That is the gospel of Christ, that God so loved the world. Amen. "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling." Now, if you take a look at the life of Paul, you don't see a man who was weak as far as his spiritual life was concerned. Paul was a mighty man of valor spiritually. He was mighty in spirit. Nobody could do the things that Paul did except that God was with him, empowering him and enabling him and producing in him a steadfastness, a character, amen, that would endure whatever was thrown at him. And by the grace of God, he overcame. But what he was saying is, "My weakness actually was turned into a strength. I came to you in weakness." In other words, I didn't come with my credentials and the stories of all the things I did. I didn't come here to boast about myself or present myself, but I came to you in fear and in trembling. I came with a realization that if I'm going to be any use at all in the kingdom, I've got to be over myself. I can't make it about myself. It's got to be Christ coming through me. And so he humbled himself. He became obedient to the will of God, even though it cost him. And he suffered because of his testimony. He knew that in order for the life of Christ to be released out of him, to touch people, to heal people, to transform hearts and lives, he had to humble himself and he had to get off the throne. Amen. He had to get over the opinions of what people thought of him to do the right thing. So I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. In his natural man, he knew he didn't have what it took. But in verse 4, let's take a look. And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Some of our politicians have learned how to speak. How to pull the strings of people's hearts, you know, and get people to, yeah, great, you know, come along right beside them and be in agreement with their message or their agenda, you know. And you know what? I think we should be persuasive if it's a good thing. Amen. But unfortunately, people manipulate and work on people's emotions to get them to do what they want them to do, because basically they're in it for themselves and really not for the people they say they represent. And they even say things like, well, the American people want. You're saying, I want that? That's what you want. Do you understand? But Paul didn't come with his own agenda. Paul didn't come with, you know, excellence of speech, or he wasn't trying to impress anybody with his credentials. He just came as a humble servant of the Lord, was willing to obey God, to do whatever God told him to do. And he didn't want the attention on himself. He wanted the attention on Christ. You see, a true servant does not serve their own interests, but the interests of the ones who employed them. Amen? And the same thing is true of any ambassador. They don't represent their own agenda when they're out in the field. Amen? When they're representing their nation to other foreign nations, they go with the agenda of the king, the one who sent them, to represent their interests. Likewise, as God's people, we have to lay aside our agendas, our ideas of what I'll do, how it should look, because a lot of times we will pick and choose what we do for God based upon what makes me look good or how comfortable I'll be in that work. It's getting quiet in here. Believe me, we're all human. We're all in this together, and I know it. I feel your pain at times. We got to fight that flesh off every day that wants to do its own thing. It doesn't want to obey God. But you become a servant to the one that you submit to. So if you're listening to the wrong voice, there's people that claim to be followers of Jesus, but they're living like the devil. Who are they really following? A tree is known by its... So what... The power of God does. The Word has to work together with the power of God, or the Spirit of God. The Word and the Spirit together. The power of God transforms intellectual concepts into substance. Okay? It turns something that's just an intellectual understanding into a living faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we need to begin with what? Feasting, reading, right, Omer? Reading through that word. He's passionate about that because he knows how effective it is in his own life. And he wants other people to do likewise. I get that, bro. It's so important that we are people of the word. That's our bread. And we're renewing our minds through that word. Amen? But we've got to get from the concept into the faith realm. Now, faith, hear this, is so important, because without it, you can't please God. Hear me. Faith is the doorway to the supernatural. Consider it the opening door, or the doorway into receiving from God. Those who come to God must believe He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently. By faith we will pursue. Amen. If we know that God hears and God does answer prayer, then we will pray. You see, if we say we have faith in God, but we don't have our prayer life, we really don't have faith in God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because you're not believing that God answers prayer. How many would agree with me that we all need prayer? And we all need God's help in this world. Amen. But if we're not believing, what happens when people get in unbelief? They quit praying because they're not thinking anything's going to happen anyways. Because the devil comes along and says, oh, God's not hearing your prayers. You're just wasting your time. You're just speaking words out into the air. Ever heard that voice before? It's true. The enemy wants to stop God's people from praying. He goes after it every time. He will come up with every excuse into the book. You set aside a time where you're going to really pray and seek God every day. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting into that place. Amen? Because he's threatened by someone who prays. Because he knows that a person who prays and stands in the gaps will bring heaven to earth. And heaven to earth is bad news for the devil. Because when God shows up, the devil's in trouble. Amen? And we are called on by the Lord Jesus to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We're calling in God's kingdom reign on the earth. And we establish his righteous reign through prayer. Hallelujah. And this gospel we're presenting is not just a compilation of theological concepts. It is a gospel that has substance. It has power. It transforms. Amen. When Jesus spoke, the people said, no man spake like this man. No one ever spoke like him. They said, he's not like the scribes and the Pharisees. But when he speaks with authority. Ooh. You want to know why he spoke with authority? Because he was under his Father's authority. If you and I are going to speak with authority, we've got to be under authority. We've got to be submitted to God. Amen? In order to resist the devil. Amen? People want to resist the devil, but if they're not under God's authority, you're in trouble. Are you hearing me? He'll keep browbeating you and beating you up until you get under submission to God and his authority. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, things have changed now. Are you hearing me? If we're under God's authority, if we're submitting ourselves to God, if we've humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God, amen, he will give us victory. He will come through. He will destroy the works of the devil. He will drive him out of your house, out of your head. Yeah. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will what? Flee. So many Christians have been hardened, though, through teachings that justify their powerlessness. There are teachings in the church that basically justify why we have no power. And what happens is Christians get into a place where they literally become hardened in that delusional thinking. Such as, well, the gifts were for the 12, the original apostles, but then the gifts went away with the writing of the New Testament canon. We know that by 1 Corinthians 13, that which is in part will be done away with. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And so they use one scripture out of context to try to present an entire doctrine that God is no longer, okay, the same. He's not moving in power anymore. There are no more miracles. Then what do you got left? Then you got, well, what's happening? Well, was it human power? Power, human mind over matter, or was it the devil operating in that preacher? And you need to be very careful because the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. And he says every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit because they were attributing the works of Satan to what Jesus was doing. Folks, we'd better wake up and realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus assigned, amen, to his disciples. He gave them power. He gave them anointing. He commissioned them. But then he told them to go into all the world, what? And preach the gospel, amen, to every nation. Disciple nations, basically. And he says, now teach them to observe everything I taught you. What does he want the disciples to do? He says, I want you to take what I've shown you and show it to others. Take what I've given you and transfer it to others. Amen? So reproduce in the earth. And so you and I are called to do the works that Jesus did. But we can't do that if we're not under his authority. If we're not in submission to God, we're not going to have spiritual authority. Authority is given to those who obey Him. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. How many want power and authority in your life? Do we want power and authority so we can look good? No. Because we love people. Amen? And we know that we can help people if we have received from God something that we can give to them. Amen? Amen. And we can glorify the Lord. Here's another one. It's another type of theology that hardens people into a belief that we're just powerless. I don't know about you, but I've sat in a few churches that were literally, they were powerless. There was nothing going on in there. You know? And if you ask the people, they'll all think, oh man, we love our church. Our church is just wonderful. And I'm thinking, what's wonderful about it? Well, you got a nice social club. But is anybody getting saved? Anybody getting healed? Anybody getting delivered? Anybody getting changed? That's the evidence of true faith. Amen. It's not just theological concepts and being able to win a debate with the Bible. You know, knowledge puffeth up, doesn't it? Puffs up, makes proud. But love edifies. And what we need is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need the power, amen, of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in order to present the gospel the way Jesus did. Jesus didn't go out doing anything apart from the Father's will. Amen. The Holy Spirit was upon Him. Amen. And the Holy Spirit moved Him. And as He was directed by the Spirit, Jesus moved. When He heard the Father speak, He spoke. When He saw the Father do something, He did it likewise. And so what was happening in the heavenly realm was being manifested on the earthly realm. And likewise, God has sent His Spirit to the church to empower her to continue to do what Jesus did, amen? That is, destroy the works of the devil. Proclaim the coming kingdom of God, amen? That the kingdom of God is here and is among you because the Spirit of God is here. And so, teachings that overemphasize the power of evil. Here's another one. You know, you go on YouTube, and I don't recommend, but if you go on YouTube, there's all kinds of weird stuff on there, man. You know that. Especially spiritual weird stuff. I understand, and unfortunately, you know, because there are a few nut jobs out there, people want to broad brush all of charismatic and Pentecostal churches as all being out there, and you know, and that's what the devil does. You know, he raises somebody up, and they claim to be this or that, and then he does some nutty stuff to them, and then he puts it on the mainstream media, and everybody thinks, oh, they're all like that. I better not go there. But there's so much stuff being presented. There are sites there. There are people that all they do is find fault. Look for everything wrong, broken, evil. It's all demonic. Stay away from those people. They shook a certain way. That was demonic. You know, I mean, it's gotten to the ridiculous point, and the enemy uses this so that he can keep God's church in a place of powerlessness, because as long as we're powerless, we're no threat to the kingdom of darkness. Are you hearing me today? We've got a rise of the occult, amen, and witchcraft in our nation like never before, because the church has been powerless. Someone say amen. And it's time for us to get a hold of God again, amen, and pray the fire of God down to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the anointing, the authority of God, and destroy the works of the devil. It's time for us to stand up and speak the truth, amen, in love. We got to do the gospel like Jesus did it. I want to do the gospel like Jesus did it. It's more than just word. He says this, my speech, verse 4, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Demonstration of the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor, say demonstration. Okay. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you understand? Some people have learned the Bible and they can teach the Bible really good. Okay. But they can be completely in themselves. They can be void of the Spirit. There's a lot of stuff shirts and Pharisees today wearing suits and ties. They just wear a different garb, that's all. God doesn't want Pharisees. He wants followers. He wants servants. He wants people that are humble. He wants people that are willing to say, God, you told me to do it. I can't do this. And so I'm going to have to trust you. And I'm going to step out for you because you told me to do it. You know, a lot of times we're not doing what God told us to do because of fear. Sometimes we're not doing what God tells us to do because of pride. What if nothing happens? How will I look? You hear it? When we pray for somebody, we shouldn't pray with any personal motivation at all as far as, how is this going to make me look? What are people going to think about me? Amen? Because the devil will get you puffed up real fast, and already there's pride in your heart. Amen? And if something happens, we need to guard ourselves against it and understand that it wasn't us, but it was God that allowed us to do this thing. Amen? But see, the enemy will get in the areas of pride, because God doesn't give his grace to the proud. He gives his grace to the humble. So if a person is proud and they're in ministry, they can very easily become an agent of Satan and not even realizing it. And so all of us need to learn the same lesson. You know why? Every one of us in this room are called to ministry. Everyone is called to ministry. Not necessarily pastoral, but we're all given gifts and abilities, amen, by God, that we're given to invest in others, to be good stewards of the grace of God. It's not for me, it's for you. And so these people that are teaching and emphasizing the power of evil, what happens is people start to get into a place of doubt and unbelief. They begin to believe that somehow the devil's more powerful than God. Because what you magnify, what you focus on, what you exalt is what you will worship. So if the devil can convince somebody that he's really more powerful than God, that he's greater than God, because the devil, let's face it, he just wants the worship. He wants to take it away from Jesus, amen, take it on himself. So if he can convince people that somehow the devil's more powerful, you ever notice how the media just smears everything with fear, 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 fear? So magnifies fear. Why? Because it produces hopelessness in the heart. And when people are hopeless and they think it's too big, it's too bad, it's too gone, it's too powerful, these groups, these special groups that are doing all these things, they're presenting an image like they're just so big, and yet all they are like that puffer fish. They're just a little fish that's puffed itself out to make it look so much bigger than it really is. And if we start believing in the magnification of evil, then we'll start submitting ourselves to it, and we'll become intimidated, we'll become politically correct, because, oh, you better not speak about that, because they're going to come after you. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you operate in fear, you can't be a child, you can't be a servant of God. So what's the answer? The Bible says, I talked about it last week, we must exalt the Lord. We must magnify the Lord. We make our boast in our God. We talk about how great and how mighty and how powerful, all-knowing, amen, how exalted our God is, and that He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has the name above every name, amen, and His name is El Elyon. He is the Most High God, amen. Satan himself is only a created thing, amen, a created being, but he is not equal to God. They're not like in a boxing rink, amen, on equal par. Come on, somebody. God is all powerful. He's the creator. Satan is the creation. He just wants to present himself as if he's equal to God, so people, he can take away the worship from Jehovah to himself. And if we magnify evil and we focus on it, and all we're talking about is the devil this, the devil that, guess what? You're giving him license now to magnify himself in your mind, to where all of a sudden your faith in God shrinks. Is that making sense? It's what propaganda is all about. Militaries do it. They use propaganda against their enemy. They present this image. Sometimes it's completely false. They may put fake missiles on trucks and parade them around, because they want to defeat their enemies in their minds. before, amen, they even engage in battle. If you believe you can't win, then why fight? Why not just give up? The devil says it's too big, it's too powerful, it's too great, it's too beyond anything that God can do. So why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? That addiction you've been struggling with, oh, it's just too big, it's too bad, it's too beyond what you'll ever be able to do. So why don't you just give in to it, yield to it, allow it to have its place in your life, and just rationalize it. Well, I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm a drug addict. And start to identify yourself as such. How about, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. I'm no longer that alcoholic. Amen? But if I believe it and I allow the enemy to magnify it, then I'll continue to submit to it because I'm afraid of it. If you fear your sin, you'll serve it. So Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Because the devil is not threatened by a powerless church. And you know, folks, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters throughout this nation, amen, that God's going to bring resurrection power, life into all his people. And that some of these false doctrines and these teachings that are basically taking any kind of substance or authority out of the message. You know, what are you doing then? Well, we're just having perpetual Bible study. We're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? The truth is Christ. He's the substance of the things hoped for. Amen? He is what it's all about. Jesus at the center. And what we want is an encounter with the living God. Amen? We want to experience God. We don't want to just learn about God and learn more about God and have more CDs and more teachings about God and say, well, let me impress you by how much I know about God. How about how much do you really know Him? Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a spiritual battle. It's a supernatural battle. And that's why the power of the Holy Spirit is essential to our overcoming evil. It's supernatural in nature. We are engaged in a supernatural battle. Amen? Therefore, we need supernatural power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knows we need it. And that's why He tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Put on the full armor of God. Put on Christ. Amen? Be clothed in Him, in His authority, so that you can overcome the enemy of your soul. Not only can you overcome him in your own life, but then you're in a position to help others get free. Hallelujah. You know, you have some unfortunate people who are always in the place of needing ministry. God doesn't want us to be in a perpetual place of needing ministry. He wants us to grow up, amen, and start taking charge of our lives, start submitting my life, submitting myself to God willingly, choosing to obey His voice, to do what He tells me to do, amen, so that I'm getting free, and as I'm free, I'm able to help other people get free now. If I'm bound, I can't help people that are bound. So pride and fear are two enemies of faith. Pride. James 4:6, God resists the proud, but what? Gives His grace to the humble. And without the grace of God, we can't overcome. And last week we talked about Saul. Remember how he was more concerned about the opinions of people than the will of God? His reputation was more important, amen, than the will of God. And Saul feared man. And because Saul feared people, it caused him to fail in his assignment. Do you understand that we've got to get over the fear of man? And the only way to get over the fear of man is to have the fear of God. And the fear of God comes as you get close to God and you begin to know who God really is. Amen. He's no longer just a theological concept. Amen. But He is a real, true, living God, a powerful being. Amen. That has created us and placed us here. And He has all authority. And He has now called me to join Him in His work. Amen. Of destroying the devil, of advancing His kingdom. All of us are called to work together as co-laborers with Christ to build up. Amen. To edify the body of Christ. Amen. So that together we can become healthy and strong and a beautiful, pure, spotless bride. Amen. That one day will be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming for His bride. He's coming for His church. Jesus is coming for those who are looking for Him. Hallelujah. And those who are looking for Him are those who are not living for this world. Where your heart is, it's your treasure. If you're living for Jesus, you're looking forward to seeing Jesus. If this world is your focus, if this world is your passion, you're not looking for Jesus. Come on, somebody. But when you're living for God and you've denied yourself in this world, you know that payday's coming. Someday Jesus is going to, amen, He's going to call you and He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We've got to cut out a living. We've got to work. We've got to take care of business. I get that. But whatever we do in word or deed, we do all for the glory of God. Amen. If you're working, you don't do it to make a name for yourself. You work as unto the Lord and say, "Well, God gave me the strength. God gave me the ability." And I give God the praise that He even gave me the ability God, to get out of bed today. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that. In all things we're given thanks to God. But we want to live our lives for Him because He gave His all for us. And so if we become proud, God can't use us anymore. And then 1 Samuel 15:17, guys, this is when the prophet Samuel talked to him and rebuked this king who had fallen. He said, "When you were what? Little in your own eyes, were you not king of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? When you were little, Saul, when you were like Paul the Apostle who said, I came to you in fear and trembling. I didn't come to you with an arrogant self-confidence. I came with a realization that if I'm going to be able to accomplish anything, it's going to be by the power of God. And therefore, I have to humble myself. I have to bring myself under submission to God. And I have to start obeying His voice. And when God tells me to move, I get up and I move. If God says, go pray for somebody, I step out of fear. I step out of pride. I said, okay, I'm going to go pray. Amen. And I discipline myself to obey the voice of God. And as you do what God tells you to do, you will see a manifestation of His power, and God will heal, God will save, God will deliver. Amen. As you are obedient to Him. And so Saul, he was small in his eyes, and when he was little in his own eyes, the Bible says that he was the king over all the tribes of Israel. God exalted him. But when he got proud, God said, I can't use him anymore. And He sent Samuel the prophet to rebuke him. What a shame. Now, I want to talk about fear, because fear is a huge factor as well, and it kills faith. And you can't have faith and fear simultaneously. Faith is confidence in God, amen, and His Word, and that God will do what He said He would do. So fear of failure is huge. And it's also can be connected to pride. When I'm fearful of failure, I'm fearful of how I'll be perceived if I fail. A lot of people will never step out for God because they're afraid they're going to fail and they're going to look bad. That's pride. Does that make sense? Been there before? Amen. But when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Fear of embarrassment. Here's another one. I'll be embarrassed. Do you know, folks, listen. When I'm in the Holy Spirit, I don't get embarrassed. He's never ashamed me, you know? He's never ashamed me. I can run around this room and not be ashamed in the Holy Spirit. But if I'm in fear and I'm in pride, you know what? If God tells me to run around the room, I'm going to run around the room. God tells you to shout in Walmart, go ahead. Just make sure it's God. They may be carting you off somewhere. Yeah, we have a live one here. Bring the suits. Fear of failure and fear of embarrassment, it prevents many of us from stepping out and accomplishing the will of God for our lives. How many can I say, yeah, I know there's been at least one time. There's been times when God has moved on you in this during these services. And he says, I've given you a word and I want you to speak this. But because of fear and because of embarrassment and because a little pride and ego was in there, are you hearing me? We held back and we didn't speak out. And then the opportunity passed us by. Come on, somebody. And that God didn't say, that's it, you're done. He says, well, learn from that. And next time I'm speaking to you, I want you to step out. You know what? A lot more would be accomplished if we would just get over ourselves. And just say, okay, God wants me to do this. I don't care what man thinks. If I know for sure that God is telling me to do something, then I do it. It's like, here's an example, taking orders from a commanding officer. You know? A humble soldier doesn't question his orders. He just says, yes, sir. And he gets to work. Amen? He begins to move on that order. Because even though he has the ability to say, nope, not going to do it. There are consequences, but he can still say no because he has a free will. But a humble soldier, it doesn't mean that soldier is weak. He'd be a powerful, amen, soldier. But a humble soldier is a powerful person who is basically under control. I control myself, even though I may not agree with that order. My commander told me to do it. Yes, sir. We're going to get it done. Amen. We're going to go, even at the risk of his own life. A good soldier will obey orders even at the risk of his own life. I mean, we say these people are crazy, but when they did human waves back in the Korean War, and they were just mowing them down by the thousands. Even times in Vietnam, it was bad. They were obeying orders. Now, I'm not here to suggest that all orders are right, but we need to understand that God's the ultimate authority. Amen? And God is looking for humble servants. God is looking for servants who will just say yes, not question it. Just say, yes, sir, we're going to go do this thing. Amen. You want me to talk to people about Jesus? Okay, we're going to talk. You want me to pray for somebody? I'll pray. You want me to serve in the church? I'll serve. Amen. You want me to preach the gospel? I'll preach. Whatever you tell me to do, Lord. You want me to serve the homeless? You want me to feed the homeless? Lord, I'll serve and feed the homeless. Amen. You want me to visit somebody who's sick? I'll do that. Amen. Each one of us has been given an assignment. Each one of us is responsible for what God has invested in us. Not for ourselves, but to invest in others. So God is looking for humble servants like Paul, who he knew, even though Paul at one time was literally a terrorist. God said, I'm going to save this terrorist. I'm going to turn him into one of my greatest apostles. And that's what happened. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I was listening to someone speaking on the radio. It was the wife of Jim Elliot, who had been a missionary to Ecuador and went down and he was speared. He was killed by the natives there. And yet his wife, in obedience to the Lord, went down right afterwards and was able to make a connection with these tribes. And they were like these lost tribes. They were people that had never been part of society. They didn't know they were only, you know, under the control of Satan. But she went down in obedience to God and established a tremendous ministry where many of them got saved, you know. But she said, you know, today the problem with much of the young people, and it's not just the young people, is that they think, hear me, they think that obedience to God is optional. Do we think that obedience to God is optional? Are we that deceived to think that I can just, my commander in chief tells me to do something, I can just say, no, I'm not going to do it. That's called rebellion. That's called pride. Guess what? There's not going to be any grace for that. You want God's grace? You want God's authority? You want God's power? You're going to have to start saying, yes, Lord. You really sense God is moving you to do something? It start being a yes person, amen? And just start humbling yourself, even though you may want to do something else. Oh, there's a great show on television, but the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to go pray. Get your mind out of the junk, amen? And get your mind in heaven here. And we can say, not right now, maybe later. Do you know that God gives us windows of opportunity? There's times when God is moving in your life. He's calling you to do something. And you may only have a short window of opportunity to accomplish what He's telling you to do. And if you don't take advantage of the time and do it when He's telling you to do it, that opportunity could pass you by. And it could result in somebody losing their soul. Because we failed to obey the voice of God. Is obedience to God optional? Absolutely not. If we give obedience to our earthly authorities, how much our Heavenly Father, amen, the one who speaks from heaven. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks from heaven. I found it to be a joy to serve the Lord. How about you? So anytime you think, I don't really want to do that, say, shut up, flesh, and do it anyways. Then you'll say, wow, this was so much better than what I thought I wanted. His plan is so much better than my plan. And then we learn to obey. Amen. By just, okay, yeah, we're going to start doing this. We're going to start listening now. Because a lot of times we get ourselves into a mess because we simply are not obeying God. How many here feel that God has been stirring up the gift of God within you as I've been speaking? You just sense a burning in your heart, a stirring inside? Folks, I hope you have that. If you're not stirred by the Word of God, there's a problem. I'm speaking to you, at least in part, by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Amen? So we've got to be willing to submit ourselves to His authority. Amen? If I'm telling you the truth, and then the Spirit of God is speaking to you, now you're responsible for what you heard today. I'm just the paper boy, that's it. I can't do anything of any eternal value, and neither can you, apart from the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants His church to be on fire, to be red hot, to be overflowing in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So wherever we go, we are just expelling the darkness. We're driving it out wherever the soles of our feet trod. Amen? So hear me. Commit yourself. Submit yourself. Start from right where you're at. Start with right what you have right now in your hand or whatever God has given you to do. Start being faithful with that. Start praying. Amen? Start from prayer. Start seeking God. Start asking God, God, what would you have me to do for you now? You went to the cross for me. You shed your blood. You died for me. What can I do for you now? How can I love you back? You seek, you will find. Just cry out to God. Press in. Turn the stuff off. Amen? And tune into Jesus. Listen to His voice. And He's going to give you an instruction. He's going to say, I want you to do this. He's going to give you an action. And you start to obey that voice. You start to do what you believe the Lord is telling you to do. Amen? And then God will say, aha, I've got somebody here that I can trust. I've got an humble servant that's willing to obey me and do all of my will. More grace, more authority, more power in their life. Amen? Greater influence, greater effectiveness. As we're faithful in little, He makes us what? Ruler of much. That's what I want. That's what you want. Why? Because we want an abundant welcome into heaven. Amen? And we want to see people saved. We want to see people changed. We want to see people set free. Because we love. With the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. The love of God constrains us, motivates us. Sometimes people aren't going to like you because of it. But we're not here, amen, to please everybody. We're here to please the King. And I want to see Him in that day smiling at me. Amen. I don't want to be a Saul. I want to be a David. Hallelujah. I want to be a man that's willing to do all of His will. How about you? Father God, thank You for the message of the Word. God, we realize we can't do anything without Your grace, without Your power, without Your help. So Holy Father, my prayer is that You would release a fresh baptism of Your Holy Spirit, God, that You would saturate our hearts again. Would You lift Your hands right now? Just lift Your hands and just relax and just receive. Talk to Him. Say, Lord, I submit myself to You. Give me ears to hear Your voice, that I could walk with You. I want You to be able to trust me. So teach me Your ways. Lead me in Your paths for Your name's sake. Fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.